103.9 WRBI Batesville, Greensburg, Brookville, Versailles now presents Southeastern Indiana's longest running and most listened to sports show, Coach's Corner, broadcasting from the Coach Raver Corner at Ison's Family Pizza.
And welcome to another episode of Coach's Corner. I'm your host, Terrence Arney, and we broadcast live this evening from Ison's Family Pizza right here in downtown Batesville. Should you drive down George Street, go ahead, give us a wave, honk your horn, let us know you're listening. On tonight's show, joining us will be Milan's baseball head coach, Jeff Stutler. Also, Jacksonville's track and field coach will be with us. Franklin County boys golf coach, Coach Dylan Huber. He'll also be in the house, but we'll start things off right here in Batesville with Batesville's boys head golf coach, Coach Ben Seifert. Coach, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Terrence.
So you guys, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys have just kind of had the tarp ripped off this thing for this season. You guys are ready to go. Started this past weekend, right?
Yeah, Saturday's opening day, or it's the first day that you could have a contest. And we took our kids down to Edinburgh. We played Timbergate, like a 18-team invite. Finished sixth. I thought I was happy with the score. I was happy with how we played. I think we left some shots out there, but I think some of those other schools probably could say the same early in the year.
Let's back up just a little bit and kind of revisit last year and how things finished up. You guys got into sectional play last year. How did that go for you?
So we did not advance as a team, and we did not have any individuals advance. Our sectional is pretty tough. Mm-hmm. We got the Columbus schools in there. We played at Greensburg. Greensburg's got a pretty good program. Shelbyville, as they were moved in at the reclassifications, and they were one of the teams that got out and left us kind of as the odd man out.
Sure. When you look at last year's team and what you've got coming out this year, how many team members are you bringing forward from last year's squad?
So we've got 11 total. Mm-hmm. Four of those guys are freshmen.
Okay.
We graduated three seniors. So we bring back a good core. But those seniors that graduated did play a lot. So we bring back a core, but we don't bring back a bunch of experience.
Okay. Now, your season, just talk us through. Some of our listeners may not be that familiar with how the mechanics, if you would, of a golf season really work out. Talk to me a little bit about, because you guys, you know, you've got meets during the week, and then on the weekends, you guys travel a little bit too. Talk to us about that a little bit.
Our season kind of gets going in the winter. Mm-hmm. As soon as the girls' season is over in the fall, we get the boys and the girls together, and we work out twice a week up in the old wrestling room. We've got a hitting bay. We were able to get some sponsors to get us a couple indoor putting mats.
Okay.
And we've got like a putting simulator that we were able to purchase. So, you know, kind of the technology has allowed, you know, even in Indiana, for us to get some meaningful practice in the winter.
Right.
So that by the time we get out to the course, it's not, you know, kicking off the rust.
Right.
You're kind of getting into the nuts and bolts of it.
What about that simulator I hear about, so many people talk about over at Hillcrest? You guys ever, at least on their own, do the players go in there and check that out?
We've got a lot of our guys are members, and they've played on it. It's pretty nice. I've not played in it.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it's good to have.
It's interesting you bring that up, how a technology can help advance a sport. And I hadn't really thought about golf being one of those until you just said that. But yeah, I could see how that could really, in some cases, level the playing field, if you would.
Yeah.
Speaking of leveling the playing field, this sectional that Batesville belongs to, pretty competitive groups in there, right?
Oh, yeah. You've got Columbus North is a perennial, top 25 team almost every single year. And golf is a single class sport. So, you know, you've got Columbus East is in there as well.
Right.
Greensburg, who is the host, you know, their course is our host site. Good program. And then Shelbyville, they're kind of up and coming. They won the tournament at Edinburgh on Saturday.
Okay.
They shot a sub 310, which for this time of year is a very, very good score.
Wow. When you that tournament this past Saturday, how many schools were there?
There were 17 or 18 schools there.
Wow. That's an all-day affair.
Oh, yeah. They're 10-hour days on Saturday.
Wow. Goodness. Okay. When you look at your squad, who you have coming back, who are some of the players that you're expecting big things from this year?
So we return a couple varsity guys from last year's team. I'll start with senior Leo Moody. He probably played in 3/4 of our varsity matches last year. We returned Jackson Day. And then we had kind of like sophomore John Moody will mix in there. Landon Raver is a sophomore. Those guys got a little bit of varsity experience last year, mm-hmm. but maybe not enough under their belt where you felt like they were seasoned.
Right, right.
So we came in with, you know, some question marks, but I think they're holding their own.
Okay. Now, when you talk about competitive golf, particularly at the high school level, where do you see teams or players making the biggest strides? Is it off the tee or is it around the greens?
If you've got a good short game and you can score, you know, a lot of guys can get it off the tee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you can keep it in play, that's a different story.
You've seen me play, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So if you can limit your big miss, you don't have to be like crazy precise.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to avoid the sevens, the eights, the nines.
Sure, sure.
You got to be willing sometimes to take your medicine, take your bogey, and move on.
Right, right. I could definitely see that. Now, help me understand this. And we were talking about this a little off air. It's just weird to me that the girls' golf season and the boys' golf season, these two things don't coexist at the same time of year.
No.
What's going on there?
They don't. So the girls play in the fall, mm-hmm. and the boys, they play in the spring. And I think it kind of goes opposite of tennis. So,
okay.
Like, girls tennis is a spring sport.
Right.
But the boys season is played in the fall.
Okay.
So
is that a facilities type thing? Or
I don't know. I think it's more just the state.
Sure.
You know, the IHSA has decided that for the boys, they're going to play in the spring, and the girls are going to play in the fall. I really don't know any reasoning behind it. But
just seems weird.
Yeah.
Just seems weird. Maybe they were trying to cut down on fraternization. I don't know. Who knows? So you guys are underway now. And when do sectionals start? How long is the golf season?
Our sectional typically takes place the week after Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, okay.
So early June, and then the state finals wraps up about mid to third week in June.
And does that present some issues, at least in terms of keeping the kids, the athletes focused? Because school is out by the
right.
time you get to, you know, the nuts and bolts of the season there.
Yeah, I think after spring break, it's hard to keep their attention sometimes. But
agreed.
No, our guys are pretty locked in. I mean, I think they've got some big goals for the season.
Sure.
And they are focused. They've been focused since we started in the winter.
Right.
I don't see that changing as we get deeper into the season.
Good deal. Now, golf is another one of those sports where, you know, you've got two chances, two opportunities mm-hmm. to advance, right? You can advance as a team, and then, of course, the individuals can advance. Talk us through that a little bit.
Sure. So at the sectional, like our boys sectional, I believe, has 14 teams. They all play on the same day. The top three teams move on to a regional.
Okay.
They then take the top three individuals that don't come from those advancing teams. Those three individuals move on, and they go on to the same regional.
Right.
They just get paired with other individuals. And as long as they continue to shoot good scores, they can move on individually right into the state finals.
Mm.
Now, they're also then going to be competing against some of these sectionally advanced teams that
right.
then turn. They don't make it, but they have individuals who are good enough.
Right, right.
So it does kind of weed them out,
mm-hmm.
But it does give them a chance, if you're not on a very strong team, that you still have a path to a state championship.
Right. And at that spot, I mean, as an individual, if you're advancing, if you're moving on, because it's a single class sport,
sure.
you truly are the best in the state, right? I mean,
yeah. I mean, at our regional, it takes right about par.
Mm.
If you are 2 to 3 over par, there's probably a pretty slim chance that you're going to go play.
Wow, that narrow of a margin for error, huh?
Yeah, it's a pretty tight window.
Wow. Yeah, I'd never make it then. You wouldn't have to worry about me. I'd be gone day one. And no doubt, too, you guys have, you know, you've kind of set out and laid out your goals of things that you want to accomplish this season. Obviously, doing well in sectional play is one of them. But as far as your players, are there individuals on the squad? What are some of the things that they're eyeing, maybe as individuals, that they want to accomplish here?
I think for our guys, one of the big goals is they want to win the conference.
Sure.
We've got a very competitive conference, you know, between Greensburg, Batesville, Lawrenceburg, Franklin County. I mean, all of them, we compete. We have dual meets, tri meets throughout the season. But to win a conference title, it comes down to that one day.
Mm.
So there's a little added pressure.
Sure.
You've seen a lot of these teams. By that point, you know what they've got. They know what you've got. And it's just kind of lace them up and go compete.
Right. That's interesting. So take me behind the scenes in that one day, yeah. Right? You've gone through your regular season, and now it's game time, so to speak. On that day, what time do you get started, first of all?
Typically, the conference meet is like a noon shotgun start.
Okay.
So you'll get there. There'll be two groups that'll go off. There'll be kind of a they'll either make them even or they'll do an A and a B. Somebody will go off 1 off 10 or
sure.
Somebody will follow the other group and play 18 holes. They take the top 12 individuals, become our all-conference.
Okay.
And then obviously the best team becomes the conference champions.
So that's a unique spot too then. I mean, so the individual, I mean, the player knows themselves how well they're playing, but they don't know how they're stacking up against the rest of the field, right?
Yeah, not always. Some events have live scoring, so like a parent or somebody in the group on an app will keep score.
Okay.
So then there's a leaderboard that's, you know, updated in real time.
Oh, okay.
So they can see, like, we really don't want our kids to be leaderboard watching because
right.
Nobody wins a tournament after 14 holes.
Sure,
so,
sure.
You know, play your game, golf your ball, worry about the results at the end.
Right. Of course, easier said than done, right?
Yeah, especially with 15 to 17-year-old boys.
No doubt about it. Well, Coach, listen, it sounds like you guys are ready to rock and roll this season. Got a lot of folks coming back, and I'm sure that core group's going to serve you well throughout the season. We'll keep tabs on you guys, especially as you get closer and closer to the day when sectional play begins. But thanks for spending some time with us, and hit them long, hit them straight, right?
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right, we've got more Coach's Corner coming up in just a bit when we get back on Country 103.9 WRBI and the new WRBI app.
Oh my, that's big.
Cecil Eisen here from Eisen's Family Pizza in downtown Batesville. Eisen's Family Pizza can satisfy even the biggest appetites with our 8-inch mega chip cookie.
Oh.
Our 12-inch That's a Big Pretzel.
My.
And our 20-inch hand-tossed pizzas.
That's big.
That come with a Target printed on the bottom of the box.
Oh my, that is big.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram for specials and events. Eisen's Family Pizza. Find us at 812-933-0333, eisensfamilypizza.com, or on George Street, downtown Batesville.
Nothing brings the family together like a home-cooked meal. Let Whirlpool and Maytag Appliances help you handle what the day brings. From smart cooking to dependable dishwashers, Gehring's has it all. With the largest selection of Whirlpool and Maytag appliances in the area, you're sure to find the perfect appliance for your cooking needs. Shop for the best appliances with the latest features at Gehring's today. Whirlpool and Gehring's, 316 North Main, Batesville.
We don't sell you cars, we help you buy them.
Fleetwood Chevrolet at 950 North Michigan Avenue in Greensburg invites you to visit them. They're here to help you with your next new or pre-owned vehicle purchase, as well as all your service and parts needs. They're the home of Greensburg's only drive-in service lane and free oil changes for life with the purchase of a new vehicle. Give them an opportunity to earn your business at Fleetwood Chevrolet.
We don't sell you cars, we help you buy them.
Coach's Corner, delivered by Eisen's Family Pizza, continues.
I want to thank all of our guests, thank all of our sponsors, thank Eisen's for allowing us to be here, thank all of you for listening in.
From 103.9 WRBI.
Coach's Corner continues here on 103.9 WRBI. I want to thank our sponsors, of course, our title sponsor, Eisen's Family Pizza. Cecil and his crew here do such a great job making us feel right at home and welcoming. Also, a special thanks to Gehrings, Fleetwood Chevrolet, SCI Fiber by Indiana REMC, Hurt and Elko, George's Pharmacy in Batesville, Chrysler, Dodge, and Jeep. Just finished speaking with Coach Seifert of Batesville Boys Golf. They got things started just this past weekend, and they'll be going at it hard here the next several weeks, several months, as they get ready for sectional play, which will be, which is, again, that was a weird one. Their sectional play doesn't start till after the school year is over. So we'll definitely have to stay posted with those folks and see how things go. And another nice thing there about golf. Golf is one of the few remaining classless sports. No classes in boys golf. And speaking of no classes, you automatically think about Milan as they want with Hoosier hysteria going on right about now. You always think about Milan being one of the last big winners in classless basketball. But let's talk baseball when we visit Milan this time. Joining the program now, head coach for Milan baseball, Coach Jeff Stutler. Coach, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So you guys have kind of already got things rocking and rolling. Three games already, 2-1 on the early season. You drop your season open to Franklin County, but looks like the bats came alive after that.
Yeah.
got a win at Brownsburg.
Brown County.
And then a big win over North Decatur, 21 runs in that game. 21 runs, yeah. That's a good way to start the season, I'd say, right?
Yeah, it was, you know, something that we worked on last year that we kind of struggled with offensively. And, of course, kids get older and mature and get better. And wasn't expecting it that soon,
right?
But that's a pleasant surprise to have it.
Oh, I'm sure you'll take it.
You bet.
So, speaking of which, let's talk about this squad a little bit. Let's go back a little ways to last season. Talk to us how you guys did in the postseason and how last season finished up.
Well, we finished up, you know, we had a group of freshmen that were pretty good, and we thought we would grow as the season went. And that's kind of the way it went. We ended up in the sectional drawing Brownstown Central.
Yeah.
Ended up going to the semi-state.
And that was a one-run game, right?
Dylan Thomas held them to a no-hit to the last inning.
Wow.
And then they got a hit that scored a run to, and like I said, eventually went to semi-state. So we were looking forward to this year. We ended up losing one senior, Holden Acra. So basically had the same team back, which we were really looking forward to. Jeremiah Johnson ended up with, under circumstances, hadn't graduated early.
Okay.
So we lose his arm, but we were still good. We had Dylan Thomas, who in the Franklin County game, we didn't want him to pitch, you know, a lot of pitches. And he pitched four innings of two-hit baseball, which was very encouraging. And then in the fifth inning, in his bat, his knee popped, and he didn't know what was going on.
Oh, goodness.
And he tore his meniscus.
Oh, man.
And they had an MRI Saturday, and he has an appointment with them there at, I don't know exactly where he's going, but tomorrow.
Okay.
So, you know, we're hopeful.
Yeah.
You know, you hate to see any kid like that, especially performing the way he has and as hard as he's worked. You know, I hope he doesn't lose the season.
Sure.
But, great kid, you know, and was really gonna help us. So that's where we're at right now. We have another senior, Logan Burton.
Okay.
Last year, he's got a shoulder problem. We're still plugging away. We got a lot of good players. Like I said, that group of freshmen we had last year, they're sophomores. You know, a lot of hits coming off their bats. And you know, situations like that happen. Other players just got to pick up the slack. And
sure.
And we kind of did that. And so hopefully we'll continue that through the season. And hopefully get Dylan back maybe mid-May or something.
Right.
But, you know, and those kids will have the experience. So you never know. You know,
sure.
How things turn out.
Well, there's no doubt with that postseason performance last year. Again, a one-run game with the eventual semi-state or the runner-up there.
Right.
definitely says a lot about the program and what these kids can do. More importantly, I think it really told the story of the progression
right
from where the season started to this year. Now, you do that again this year, right? You have that same type growth
right
throughout this season.
Yeah, and that's been kind of the message. You know, we did start out, you know, 21 runs against North Decatur. I mean, that's good.
Yeah.
But, you know, I message to the kids is let's not settle.
Yeah.
You know, let's keep working and getting better, because there's some other teams out there that'd be gunning for us. So hopefully they'll take that and run with it. And I think they will. I've got a good group of kids. I really enjoy coaching this bunch. Mm-hmm.
Now, with with this year's squad, do you have a lot of student athletes that participate in travel ball?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We have, quite a few of them, probably over 50%, you know, play travel ball somewhere.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you start to see, you know, people talk a lot about, you know, the travel ball, whether it be soccer or basketball, this, that, and the other. And to me, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like baseball might be the last frontier in terms of travel ball really helping these student athletes, you know, improve. In some sports, basketball, for example, it's almost like glorified rec league, you know.
I agree.
But baseball seems like they really do try to match up the best of the best. They try to get the skills.
They get a chance to see a lot of different pitching.
Yeah.
So that, you know, should help their hitting. That's the idea of that stuff. And, you know, it's just if they take it in the right perspective and work on their game to get better,
mm-hmm.
you know, then it helps them a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And, of course, in this area, there's a lot that you can choose from, too, right?
Yeah,
terms of
go any direction.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about that. When you look at the season here that you've got before, you got three games in, and it's a long season. You guys
sure
cram tons of games
right
into a really short calendar. As the head coach, how do you manage the arms and the health of the program to be able to get through a season like that?
Oh, after some of the injuries, we're trying to find arms.
Yeah.
and we're doing that, and we also were moving kids around, and I've got to talk to, you know, because the kid that played here one position last year may be better suited at a different position.
Okay.
And because we've got some people that are pretty good at infielders and outfielders, and be honest with you, it was nice to have a round robin this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see a lot of people in a lot of different roles. And see, you know, they had a chance to hit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just see them play.
Right.
And analyze, you know, what we got and kind of give us some guidance on where this team people fit the best in positions and, you know, get the most out of them, and everybody's shoving towards that, you know, that common goal.
All right.
To play on through May.
Something else I've always wondered about, I would imagine with most sports, when you guys can finally get outside, get out on the diamond and actually start playing, the kids are probably pretty anxious and excited to do that.
Oh, yeah.
But on the flip side, the weather doesn't always cooperate early in the season.
Yeah, the opening game against Franklin County is kind of cold. I'm not a big fan of cold.
Right.
It's like you're Seifert, you had on before playing golf. Baseball, I may hate playing golf and cold more than baseball. They're close.
Yeah, I can only imagine. It just seems cruel, like a cruel joke to have those things line up like that. But at the same time, it does seem like if you can get through the early part of the season, whoever can make it through that early part of the season somewhat unscathed, if you would, they got a good shot there on the tail end, right?
Yeah, yeah. And just keep working. You know, like I always tell the kids, you know, it's just as cold over there as it is here for them. So.
There you go. There you go. Who are some of the student athletes on your squad this year that you're looking for big things from?
Well, like I said, Dylan Thomas, we're hoping he'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob McGuire is kind of our number two pitcher, senior. Both left-handers.
Oh.
Eli Hurd is a big hitter, senior this year, be on third base. Logan Bergen was the other senior that has the shoulders
right
injury. John McEwen's been our catcher the last 2 years. He's a junior.
Mm-hmm.
Really solid. It's you can't imagine how nice it is as a coach to have a position like catcher that you don't have to worry about.
Right, right.
And then Blake Copeland, the other juniors, playing second. May play some in the outfield, but right now he's playing at second for us. Brady Alcorn, one of the sophomores I was talking about, with Brady and Evan Johnson, Dylan Engel, Noah Morgan and Matthew Baylor, and then Wyatt Phelps. Mm-hmm. All sophomores, all very solid baseball players, mostly infielders. Noah Morgan played shortstop for us last year as a freshman.
Okay.
Like I said, we have some infielders, so he'll probably do some shortstop, and he's an excellent outfielder.
Hmm.
Got a rocket for an arm, and just he's a baseball player.
There you go.
Know? I mean, you can kind of tell kids that are baseball players.
Sure.
He's one of them. So, you know, we're hoping to see a lot of good things from those that sophomore group. And then I have a couple freshmen, Grant Lankman, is tall, maybe going to do some pitching for us. Okay. Another left-hander.
Mm.
We're blessed with left-handers. Tommy Poole, freshman, it's an infielder. And then Caden Davidson kind of rounds up the varsity roster for this year. A lot of good prospects.
Yeah, you talk about having a tall pitcher. That's really advantage to the pitcher, right? They get some different angles that hitters aren't ready for or accustomed to seeing when you got a nice tall pitcher.
It seems like it. You know, I mean, I was a pitcher in high school and I never was tall. So, you know. But you always think those guys don't have to work as hard at it.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, you like that. It seems like, you know, you can get out there and you know, just throw the ball. And like I said, he's Grant's, I don't know how tall he is. I'd say 6'3" or something. But, you know, big kid and throws good. And we pitched him some up at the round robin. He did really well.
Good deal. Good deal. Yeah, I always hear varying numbers from coaches throughout this region in terms of, you know, the number of pitchers they have or would like to have. You know, some schools will say, oh, you know, I got 7 kids I know I could put out there anytime. And then I hear, oh, you know, if we can get 4 good ones, we could make it through. Yeah. What's your magic number? I mean, what do you really need?
Gosh, we were so blessed before. It's like it just went away.
Uh-huh.
I always liked it. Of course, you want to have 5, but I always say, give me 2 starters and a finisher.
Yeah.
And we can be competitive in 2A baseball.
Dang.
In fact, a couple of years that we won sectionals, that's kind of what we had.
Okay.
And hopefully that'll develop this year. We're looking for that other starter. I think, you know, relievers and stuff are there.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of looking for a guy to step up and become that solid starter, you know, give us 4 or 5 innings.
Okay.
And get us and have some other kids take us to the end. I think we'll be fine.
Good deal. Well, Coach, no doubt you guys are off to a really good start. 2-1 on the season here early on, and we'll definitely keep tabs on you as you head down the stretch and check back in with you probably around sectional time, see how things are going there. And
good.
Well, hopefully, good. Another good deep run to build off of the success of last season.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. And, you know, I think our guys expect that.
Yeah.
And that's always positive. You know, they seen how it progressed last year. And, you know, and then you take a team to 7 innings and they go to the semi-state, kind of,
yeah.
You know, maybe we're okay.
There you go.
Very good. So we'll build on that and hopefully we'll have a good season. I think so.
Well, no doubt about it. We'll be watching and wait and see how that unfolds for you.
Yeah.
Coach, thanks for your time.
You bet.
Coach's Corner will continue right after this on Country 103.9 WRBI, the new WRBI app.
Cecil here from Ison's Family Pizza.
Cup and Char.
Our Cup and Char pepperoni has been an area favorite for years.
Cup and Char.
But we now have a new addition to our Cup and Char lineup, Cup and Char Sliced Sausage. Our sausage is a sliced mild Italian sausage that cups when baked.
Cup and Char.
Our new Cup and Char sausage is available on all of our pizza lineup.
Cup and Char.
Get your Cup and Char sausage or Cup and Char pepperoni at Ison's Family Pizza, 812-933-0333, IsonsFamilyPizza.com, or downtown. Batesville.
When looking for the highest standard of HVAC service and care, turn to Hurt and Elko, your local Lennox Premier dealer. Hurt and Elko and their Premier dealer status means you are certain to be working with a company who has the highest level of training, professionalism, and customer satisfaction. For a limited time, they're offering up to $1,900 in rebates on a brand new Lennox system or finance with low monthly payments. Call Hurt and Elko today at 812-934-4646 or visit them online at hurt-elko.com to learn more. Conditions apply. See dealer for details.
We are here for you.
At George's Pharmacy and Medical Equipment, free delivery and caring for their customers' needs has been their way of business for over 30 years. It's not something new and will always be what George's family values, you and your family. It's easy to switch. Go to georgespharmacy.com and request your transfer or call any of their 10 George's locations.
We are here for you.
Free delivery before, now, and always. George's Pharmacy and Medical Equipment.
Southeastern Indiana REMC is now offering high-speed fiber internet to its members. Choose from our basic, plus, or premium residential packages with speeds from 100 megabits per second to 1 gig. Prices range from $64.95 to $109.95 per month, and there are no data caps. Get the connectivity speed you need at a price you can afford. Visit SEIREMC.com or call 1-800-737-4111 to check your address eligibility and to sign up for service today. Our friendly customer service representatives are standing by to take your call. SEI Fiber, connecting at the speed of light.
You're tuned to Coach's Corner.
We want to thank Cecil and his crew here at Ison's Pizza for allowing us to be here. We want to thank all of our sponsors who make this all possible. Go out and support them, because not only do they make things like this possible, they keep your communities going, and that's very, very important.
103.9 WRVI.
Coach's Corner continues here on 103.9. Special thanks to Ison's Family Pizza, the gracious hosts that they are, always serving up good pizza and always have their doors open with welcoming arms for us to come in and speak directly to you. Want to also thank Batesville Chrysler Dodge Jeep, Decatur County Memorial Hospital, Great Plains Communication, and Margaret Mary Health. Just finished speaking and talking about Milan baseball with head coach Jeff Settler. Boy, they really got things going early. 21 runs in their game against North Decatur. And they were hoping for big bats this year, and it looks like they've got them. We wish them all the best throughout their season. Let's move on down the road to Osgood and talk a little track and field. And joining the program now, head coach for Jacksonville track and field. Coach, I'm sorry, you just told me your name that quick, and it really just left me that quick. Okay. Coach Larry Hammond of Jacksonville. Again, I charge that one to my head, not to my heart. I apologize, Coach. But welcome to the program. And now you guys are getting ready to get started with your outdoor track season, right?
Yes.
And the indoor session or season is already complete. Talk to us a little bit about how indoors went for you.
Well, this is our first year trying. We wanted to garnish a little more interest. Mm-hmm. So we took and joined two indoor meets, one at UND where one of Jacksonville alumni, Chloe Simon's, running at.
So okay.
She got to show us around the building a little bit. And we participated there, and we also went down to Terre Haute where Ed Jarvis, he was the high school director for Terre Haute.
Mm-hmm.
They had one at one of the colleges down there, Indy. I can't remember, but we took eight students down there, four males and four females for both, and they participated. We didn't get any to qualify for the state, but mm-hmm. there was several of the local schools that did qualify their students for state. But I mean, it was an eye-opening opportunity for sure. them to get to see what it's like to run inside. I mean,
well, that was my next question. I mean, what's the big differences there? I mean, obviously the temperature, but how big of a difference is it, the indoor meets versus outdoor?
Well, one of the big ones is the track size. You have a shorter track.
Okay.
I mean, you run different events where we'll run the 1, 2, 4. They'll run increments of 60 mm-hmm. and 55 meter. Hurdles, 50 meter hurdles,
right.
that distance. They do have the 400 and that, but you you could pretty much double the laps. If we run 400, one lap for us is two laps for the indoor.
Right. Okay. Okay. So when you look at this year's team in terms of last year, what all are you bringing back from last season?
Well, one of my top gentlemen, Jacob Ricky, he's a junior. He really contributed till the last three or four events where he injured himself and had to pull him out. He was our top runner by far. Mm-hmm. I mean, just really superb running. We're hoping to keep him healthy this year. He's wanting to do some sprints this year to be a little more competitive in the 400 and then maybe run the 800, 1600. One of my other juniors that's returning, Sam Simon, he's starting to throw consistent disc now. He's out in the 120. So, I mean, and then we'll have Gabe Maloney on our 3200 distance. He was a strong competitor. And then Emma Wagner, we're hoping that she can break her 4.8 in high jump. And Kinsey Rolls will break her time running, too.
Good deal. You know, track and field is one of those sports where we may not talk about it so much in the high school levels, but as a country, it's something that you always hear a lot about at the Olympic level, if you would. And I understand you guys have a really interesting program that you're doing now to kind of get the youth involved and excited about track and field at an early age. Tell us a little more about that.
Well, I followed up a little bit on the South Ripley coach. He started it three years ago today, trying to get the elementary students to come out and participate. And this year, we're going to start on May 5th. We're going to have the elementary come out and compete against each other by grade, by gender. So a first grade male will run against other first grade males. Mm-hmm. First grade females will run against them and then take in the top three. And then along with South Ripley Milan, we're going to take our top two for each participant and then have a county runoff to see who has the better team. I put a little out there to challenge the teachers to get their students to come out and see which class has the better score, team score.
Sure.
And just a little bit of a challenge out there. But I'm hoping, my big hope is to get more student athletes out and running. I mean, in the last couple of years, we've really lost numbers in running. So that's our big opportunity, is just to show the youth those type of opportunities that they have to have fun with.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. You see that in some of the other sports that they're starting, where the high school coaches and their staff starting to get involved with the younger kids to kind of not just get them excited, this, that, and other, but also give them something to look forward to. Because once they've established that relationship, right, by the time they make it up to the ranks, they already know someone and at the varsity level. That really goes a long way to keep those kids in those sports. What meets do you have coming up on the horizon here?
Tomorrow we travel to Lawrenceburg for a five-way meet. It'll be Lawrenceburg, South Ripley, Oldenburg, and Shaw, and us. That should be Lawrenceburg is a little favored, being the bigger school out of the three. But I think South Ripley will give them some competition in some of the events. They have a young lady in the hurdles that'll run really well. Mm-hmm. And then on Thursday we'll travel to Rising Sun. They've just had the opportunity to create or build a brand new track. They went from a 6-lane, now they have an 8-lane track, and it's brand new, so we'll get to go down there and see how well that track runs.
Okay. Now, when you're looking at these two meets coming up, what events are you most hopeful for in terms of getting a good score?
Me being a little one-sided, I mainly work on throws and relays, but I think that we'll most in the past we've always done really well in shot and disc.
Okay.
I mean, the other coach, Tom, has always said, well, how many points did we score this time on the, so I mean, we're usually competitive there. I think in the distance run and the probably the mid-range stuff we'll do well in males, but on the female side, we don't have enough females to be a competitive scorer.
Yeah, you really need the numbers to be able to get into all the events, right? To get those scores accumulated.
Oh yes.
Okay. All right. Well, good deal. Now, when does the sectional? When does that take place? That sectional meet.
The sectional is in May. The boys are at East Central. The girls are at Franklin County. So I mean, I'm wanting to say. Second week of May, I can't remember the exact day, but the last 2 years, both boys and girls had been in East Central because Franklin County was doing some track resurfacing.
Oh, that's
so
right.
Okay. We should hopefully see some new track. Both host a well organized track meet.
Now, I apologize because I don't remember. Now, track and field, is that also a classless sport or
yes.
single class? I guess I should say single class and stop calling them classless.
Yeah, yes, unfortunately, it's a single class. And in the past, we've been competitive. The sectional we're in has 13 teams.
Right.
And we finished as good as sixth place. Mm. But, I mean, I kind of feel that, in all honesty, I mean, we're never... I mean, yeah, we on a long shot, we can beat one of the bigger schools.
Right.
But realistically, you got East Central, Batesville, Greensburg, South Dearborn, Franklin County. You got five big schools. The chance of you beating them all, them all having a bad year, it's one sport that I would like to see go into at least a two-class set,
right.
session so that... I mean, it's based in the spirit of competition. I mean,
sure.
I mean, to use Ben Davis as an example, if the travel wasn't a distance, I'm sorry, if traveling wasn't an issue, would they really want to have a two-way, say, against our school?
Right.
I would say no, because what I've learned over the years is some of my better athletes that I've seen run actually had their best times at sectional when they were running stronger runners,
right?
And they've broken records. So a big school is going to want to have the possibility of having another school, which is going to be a bigger school,
sure,
to challenge them to run even better. Am I against competing against bigger schools? No.
Right.
I would like that, but in the real sense, do I think that Jacksonville will really, or any small school, would really have the opportunity to win a track sectional?
Right.
Not at the current system, no.
Sure. Yeah, and really, that doesn't have much, it doesn't really have anything to do, I shouldn't say anything, but it's not so much about the individuals, but really it's the numbers that hurt you against the larger school, right? Not having enough athletes to put in all the events, right?
Yeah. The bigger schools, you can almost guarantee that they have at least four, five athletes that are competing for that spot, where we're lucky to usually get one person.
Right.
And it, I mean, some things we've had two people who were competitive in it, but most generally, I can't say that I've ever remembered us having a complete team that every event that we're competitive in that. We have athletes running it.
Sure, sure.
But they're not always top level competitive.
Right. Okay. Well, Coach, listen, I do appreciate you taking the time to come and talk to us about the squad this year. We will be keeping track, no pun intended, we'll be keeping dibs on you guys as the season goes on, and probably touch base again once we get closer to sectional time. All right?
All right. I appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks so much. And we will continue with more Coach's Corner in just a sec on Country 103.9 WRBI and the new WRBI app.
Oh my, that's big.
Cecil Eisen here from Eisen's Family Pizza in downtown Batesville. Eisen's Family Pizza can satisfy even the biggest appetites with our 8-inch mega chip cookie.
Oh.
Our 12-inch That's a Big Pretzel.
My.
And our 20-inch hand-tossed pizzas.
That's big.
That come with a Target printed on the bottom of the box.
Oh my, that is big.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram for specials and events. Eisen's Family Pizza. Find us at 812-933-0333, eisensfamilypizza.com, or on George Street, downtown Batesville.
A Maytag washer can handle the tough loads with extra power to boost stain fighting on any wash cycle. The built-in water faucet is ready to give clothes a quick rinse or a long soak. Plus, the deep fill option delivers more water when you want it. Visit Gehring's to see how a Maytag laundry pair can help you power through laundry day. Gehring's and Maytag, 316 North Main, Batesville.
Batesville Chrysler Dodge Jeep is a proud sponsor of local athletics. I'm Michelle Galk, and at Batesville Chrysler, we value this community and the relationships we've built with our customers. As your hometown car dealer, we understand the importance of staying connected to the community. We commend all our student athletes and their hard work and dedication. That's why we're proud to sponsor local sports coverage so that fans can stay connected no matter where we are. Remember, you can buy a car anywhere, but when you buy at Batesville Chrysler Dodge Jeep, we can all work together to support the future of this great community.
Your independence is priceless. Decatur County Memorial Hospital's Rehabilitation Services team helps you each step of the way in your healing journey, getting you back to the activities you love. Our team's brand new location and building in the state-of-the-art Rehabilitation Medical Offices building supports our community's needs and is a life-changing expansion right on the DCMH campus. Experience the ease of access to our therapeutic service offerings close by. Decatur County Memorial Hospital, the quality care you want close by.
Back to more Coach's Corner, delivered by Ison's Family Pizza.
Get out and support the teams in your area. They all deserve your attendance and appreciate you being there.
On 103.9 WRBI.
Coach's Corner continues as we broadcast live from Ison's Family Pizza. I want to thank Cecil and his crew for their hospitality. Also want to thank other sponsors, including Garin's, Fleetwood Chevrolet, SEI, Fiber by Southeastern Indiana, REMC, Hurt & Elko, and George's Pharmacy and Equipment. We just finished talking about track and field out at Jacksonville, and one of the few sports remaining that is a single-class sport, but as Coach said, he would really like to see that go the other way, at least break it up into two classes, give some of the smaller schools a better opportunity, a better chance. But we will keep an eye out on how things go out in Osgood with their track and field team, and wish them all the best on the season. We'll finish things up in Franklin County and talk a little boys golf with head coach Dylan Huber. Coach, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So, Coach, you guys' season really is just kind of underway. You guys haven't even been out yet, right?
No, yeah. We've been practicing for about 2.5 weeks now. We had spring break last week, so it's tough for us to have a match over that week, obviously. So we backload our schedule to where we'll start April 13th next week at the Richmond Invite.
Okay.
And then we kind of have a lot of tournaments there in May. So we play about every Saturday in May, and that really gets us ready for our conference and sectional invites at the end of the year.
Okay. Now, when you look at last year's team versus what you've got now, are you bringing back a good number of your players?
Yes. So ever since COVID, because COVID affected golf for us quite a bit.
Sure.
I had a year where we had 18 players, and a majority of them were football players that wanted to try golf. So we were senior loaded then. Uh-huh. Now, this year we have zero seniors.
Wow.
One of our seniors has played 3 years. He graduated early, so he's unable to play this year.
Okay.
So we have two freshmen that are coming back as sophomores that played in every 18-hole, 9-hole invitational last year. And then we have three, a couple juniors that will be fighting for some spots to play up there. But we're going to be led by some sophomores that have the experience.
So sure.
We have two guys that got to play last year. We lost two seniors last year, so Carson Allen will be a sophomore and Brady Foster will be a sophomore. Brady really progressed as the year went on, and at the end of the year was one of our most consistent players.
Okay.
So coming back as a sophomore, we're hoping he takes a leadership role there. And Carson as well started off really well, kind of ran into some bumps, but then he leveled out as the year went on too. So we're hoping to see some improvement from them too in the leadership aspect, and then have these juniors come in ready to play. They've been watching for a couple of years,
right,
and try to fight for one of those spots.
Well, sounds like you've got a young squad, but an experienced squad. These younger players really got logged a lot of time for you over the seasons. You mentioned 18-hole invitationals as well as 9-hole invitationals. Are there a lot of 9-hole?
Throughout the week, you'll do 9-hole dual matches a lot against conference teams.
Okay.
Or like we'll play like neighboring schools like Oldenburg, mm-hmm. stuff like that, in like three-way or four-way matches. Like our second match of the year is Batesville, Oldenburg, Connersville, and ourselves. So like we'll kind of pair up like that.
Sure.
But then that gives you a chance to kind of see, because we're one class as well.
Okay.
So we have, it gives us a chance to see some of the 1A schools, 2A schools, 3A schools, and then 4A.
Right. Because
Richmond hosts our sectional sometimes. This year we're at Liberty, but Richmond still is a 4A school in our sectional.
Okay.
So they're a little bigger than us, so it gives us a chance to kind of see where we match up with everybody else.
And those nine-hole invitationals, that's really more of a time constraint, right, to be able to
Correct.
Get the game in after school before nightfall, right?
Correct, yeah. And there's some Indianapolis schools, some of the bigger schools, that they do 18 holes throughout the week,
mm-hmm.
And they'll start about 3 and get done. But here, like, by the time we get to our school, stuff like that, school lets out.
Sure.
We'll start by about 5, so we try to play 2 hours.
Sure.
And that's
sure.
9 holes. So.
Okay. But, of course, by the time we get to postseason play, that's all 18 holes.
Correct. So and the good thing about the end of our season is we're out of school.
Yes.
So whenever we get to the end of our year, we have 3 invites that are after school.
Mm-hmm.
So then we can go Tuesday, Thursday, and then our sectional is usually that first Monday or so of June.
Okay.
And then you kind of roll right into it.
Hmm. Okay, that's good. Now, we were talking earlier, had another coach on, a golf coach for Batesville, and through our conversation, it just occurred to me that it's just weird to me anyway that the girls play in one part of the year and the boys golf is in, you know, the opposite part of the year. Why is that?
So I would love to have boys golf in the fall, obviously, because you go from summer playing all summer.
Right.
I played in college, and a lot of the kids that I played with there came from Kentucky, Ohio. They all play in the fall.
Right.
The boys do. So
sure.
They're always like, whenever they hear we play in the spring, like, that doesn't make so much sense, because it's really hard for golf courses to stay in good shape because it's wet.
Yeah.
And leagues are starting and stuff like that, men's leagues, and it's hard to find. There's a lot of matches where we can't have certain nights because of those leagues and like course shape and stuff like that.
Wow. Yeah, it seems like it would make a lot more sense to have it in the fall. Well, I'll work on that for you.
I appreciate it.
Are there some matches or invitationals, though, that's on the schedule that you've kind of got circled that you guys are really looking forward to? Or
Here in the last couple of years, we played a Newcastle invite that has a very unique I've never heard of it before in the past, but a lot of Indianapolis schools I've heard are starting to do this, where you play in a fivesome with your own team.
Okay.
So then your coach keeps the score. And I really look forward to that because it's about a week and a half before sectional.
Okay.
So it gives me a chance to see all 5 guys at once.
Oh,
yeah.
Because
the disadvantage of going from coaching basketball like I do in the winter to golf is you don't get to see all 5 people at one time.
Sure.
So it's
sure.
more of a let the kids go out and play on their own. And the biggest fear as a coach is, are they in rules situations? Are they in rules predicaments?
Right.
Do you understand what's going on? So stuff like that. So it's a really good time to, at the end of the year, see where we've improved.
Yeah.
And go from there.
Yeah, that is interesting. Something else that is kind of popped up and surfaced is just the introduction of more technology mm-hmm. in the game, particularly as it relates to people preparing mm-hmm. for the game. What types of things are you guys doing up in Franklin County in that regard?
So I have an assistant coach now that his name's Luke Hall. He's mm-hmm. an assistant pro at Indian Ridge.
Okay.
He has a launch monitor that he can use. So if we ever have to go indoors due to weather, it's always been kind of tough to hit into a net and kind of see what you're doing. So
right.
we might be able to use that launch monitor. We haven't had to yet, mm-hmm. knock on wood.
Mm-hmm.
We've been lucky enough to hit outside. But he's mentioned bringing that maybe to kind of help see what okay. how the shots are going. Or I know range finders have helped a lot. Whenever I played in high school, we weren't allowed to use range finders.
Okay.
And now you can use your phone for yardage. So that has helped. And all of that is a pace of play, too, to kind of help speed things up.
Sure, sure.
So.
Well, a lot of changes there.
Absolutely.
That's interesting. Now, this launch finder, mm-hmm. I'm assuming, so when you're hitting in the net, it kind of gives you a calculation of, had the net not been there, had you been outside,
correct.
This is where the ball
yeah.
would have gone.
It'll give you like a launch angle or your club head speed or ball speed.
Okay.
And a spin on the ball so it can tell you if it's going right or left. It's pretty neat what all they've come up with nowadays, but I know Batesville just has a new simulator, but those are very expensive.
Right.
Those are ideally what everybody's would like to have in school, but
sure, sure.
it's hard to fundraise that much money to get that. Getting anything like that to kind of help kids, that way you don't have to just cancel practice when it's raining. Because
right.
in the spring, there's so many days, like the rest of this week, it's going to be cold, rainy. It's hard to have practice. So how can we find something that's given these players an idea of what where the ball is going?
Right.
So,
that's good stuff. Not to mention, I'm just thinking through it. Now you've even got some metrics that you can work with, some tangible numbers in terms of not just, oh, I saw it go far, but but you've got numbers of launch angles and spin and rotation. That's pretty phenomenal. That's pretty phenomenal. Now, sectional play, actual sectional play is in after school is out, right? So late May, June.
Right, it's usually about the first Monday of June, like the week after Memorial Day.
Okay.
Usually, so I know baseball sectional championships a lot of times are Memorial Day, especially in Franklin County. So we're the week after that. So we have some tournaments and stuff that week after school's out, because we get out the 24th, 25th, and then we go right into those 18-hole matches, which is perfect timing for us.
So you were talking before when we talked about how great it would be if the season was in the fall, because you could play all summer long and then just go right into the season. If you had to guesstimate, how much time do you think your athletes are spending on their own trying to perfect their craft?
Well, it's funny you ask that, because that's kind of the situation we've been in. So we started a middle school program 5-6 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
Marisa Mears, who was a girls coach before Taylor Earthman, we've all kind of worked together.
Sure.
And Dustin Riley helped with this as well, who's now our AD. But we started a middle school program, and then now our numbers there are getting bigger. And then we also have a youth league in the summer.
Wow.
And then a youth camp in the summer. So we are up to about 100 kids, boys and girls, playing golf in Franklin County.
Wow.
And then the town bought the golf course, so that's in good shape. So it's up in a neighborhood where a lot of these kids live. So I have kids playing 200 holes a week.
Wow.
Almost. They go over there, they get with their buddies, and they're all close.
Yeah.
We have 10 kids on our team right now, and they're all buddies. And they'll go out and play golf. And it's really fun to see these kids going through 6th, 7th, 8th grade.
Right.
And just sticking with it all the way up through it. So
what I'm hearing is Franklin County Golf's in really good shape in the next five. I mean, as the years progress, as those numbers try to shrink.
We're hoping so. We have a real solid team coming up. I feel like our middle school program is solid right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have a really good eighth grade class, I know. And then we have some good young players. And like I said, no seniors gives us – this is a year where it's a learning year.
Right.
Kids getting in situations they haven't been in. So we're going to be very up and down this year. But it's a chance to really kind of hopefully – we had successful teams about a decade ago and so.
Right.
Kind of COVID kind of hurt with that some. And then these older kids have really helped with our youth program. And then now hopefully it's going to take off here soon.
Wow, that's pretty exciting, though, to have 100 kids in your youth program, particularly in a sport that traditionally wouldn't have, you know, youth being excited about. Man, I feel like that's really going to pay dividends.
Yep, no, I really like it. We have about 70 in our camp between the boys and girls, and then about 30 to 40 in that league as well. So, and they actually go out and play holes, and they're second grade through eighth grade, and they're getting to play against each other and stuff like that. So they're learning the rules, how to keep score, and how to be competitive in golf.
That's strong. To your knowledge, though, are there any other areas, any other counties that are doing something like this?
A lot of our conference schools has middle school programs. I know Batesville has a really good program right now. Essential has one as well. So a lot of the schools have kind of asked us the last couple of years who don't have them, how we got it started, how to start it, and stuff like that. And then hopefully our entire conference is going to have a middle school team here soon.
Wow.
To kind of the way we can have a conference championship and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's where I was driving next. It'd be great to see some of these middle school programs then start to compete against each other.
Yeah, and our middle school team is coached by our girls coach, Taylor Earthman.
Yep.
So it kind of helps because she'll see those coaches in the fall when she coaches the girls.
Right.
And they can kind of continue it into the middle school program, which she does a great job with right now. So
wow. That's pretty exciting. That's pretty exciting. Going back to last year just a little bit, but really mainly just to talk about the individual players, did you have anyone on the squad last year, an individual that was able to compete at the, you know, sectional, regional levels?
We did not last year, no. We had some kids where when things kind of go a little south a little bit, they had trouble coming back from that.
Right.
We had some kids really close. I know our senior Peyton McQueer was very close to advancing last year as an individual, and then the year before that he lost in a playoff to go to regionals, and he was would have been junior then, and he's done great things for our program. But we have not in the last couple of years had anybody go to regionals, but I really see us from them seeing that, them getting to watch that playoff a couple years ago and seeing him, it came down to one hole last year again with Peyton. Wow. So them kind of seeing that might help some of these kids kind of understand where to go with it. And these kids have gotten a chance, like Brady and Carson, they played all their 18-hole invites last year. Them kind of seeing how it goes. And then hopefully bringing that in as sophomores, kind of seeing what it takes to advance.
I can't really imagine or wrap my head around what that must be like, a playoff hole for a chance to go to regional. I mean, that's a lot of pressure, right?
And they ended up, he lost on the third playoff hole. So, and then his teammates are following him. It is a really cool thing to see. Nerve-wracking for Peyton.
No doubt.
Myself trying to coach him through it, but really fun for the team to be involved. And I know we had struggled a little bit there and here, so Peyton getting a chance to do that was really cool for the team.
Good deal. Good deal. Well, listen, sounds like you guys are off and running, ready to go. Got the way you've got your schedule set up, backloaded, seems like that's going to really pay dividends for you as well. We will check in with you later on in the season, see how things are going for you. And, man, we wish you all the best of luck this season.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thank you so much. We will be right back to tie a bow on this one right after this on Country 103.9 WRBI and the new WRBI app.
Cecil here from Ison's Family Pizza.
Cup and Char.
Our Cup and Char pepperoni has been an area favorite for years.
Cup and Char.
But we now have a new addition to our Cup and Char lineup, Cup and Char Sliced Sausage. Our sausage is a sliced mild Italian sausage that cups when baked. It's available on all of our pizza lineup.
Cup and Char.
Get your Cup and Char sausage or Cup and Char pepperoni at Ison's Family Pizza, 812-933-0333, IsonsFamilyPizza.com, or downtown Batesville.
For over a century, Great Plains Communications has been keeping homes and businesses connected to the latest technology solutions, powered by our growing 100% fiber network. Our local technicians and customer service representatives in our local call centers are here to help you choose the solutions that exceed your expectations and deliver an exceptional customer experience. So don't settle for anything less than best. Call 877-839-9494 or visit gpcom.com today. Speeds and availability may vary by location.
Coach's Corner, delivered by Ison's Family Pizza, continues.
I want to thank all of our guests, thank all of our sponsors, thank Ison's for allowing us to be here, thank all of you for listening in.
From 103.9 WRBI.
Along with thanking our sponsors, we want to thank you for joining us for this episode of Coach's Corner. Special thanks to all the coaches and the teams. We wish them the best of luck going through this spring session. Batesville Boys Golf, Milan Baseball, Jacksonville Track and Field, and Franklin County Boys Golf. Good luck to all of those squads as they open up the spring for competition. Essentially, that's going to do it for us here on this one. Want to make sure I can let you guys get off the radio and to your TVs, because this, I'm telling you, is going to be the single greatest night for women's basketball that we have ever seen, with the final two teams kind of punching their ticket to the women's Final Four. It would almost feel like, I mean, any one of the four teams playing tonight, Iowa, LSU, USC and UConn, any one of those teams, if this was the Final Four, that's a believable happening with these four teams. But it's hard to believe that you name those teams, Iowa, LSU, USC and UConn, and we haven't even talked about perhaps the best team in women's college basketball, at least by record, the undefeated South Carolina Gamecocks. Of course, they've already punched their ticket, but tonight you will see extremely high-level basketball, and it's just some great head-to-head matchups with, of course, Caitlin Clark going up against Angel Reese, and in the other game you'll have Paige Beckers going up against the phenomenal freshman at USC, Juju Watkins. Again, I cannot remember in recent history that collection of star power in women's basketball, that many perennial favorites in terms of just really, really well-coached basketball teams all playing on the same night. So I want to make sure we get off the air so you could get in front of your TV and check out those games. Again, you heard it here first. The greatest night in women's basketball we've ever seen. That takes place tonight. That's definitely where I'm heading. So from all of us here at WRBI, including John Heil back at the station, Abby Brinson, our showrunner that gets all this together, thanks so much to both of you. This is Terrence Arney, and in the immortal words of the Hall of Famer himself, he would always say, trust and believe in yourself. You've got this. Thanks so much for listening, and enjoy the rest of your sports week. You've been listening to Coach's Corner on Country 103.9 WRBI and the new WRBI app.